Well, good morning out there in Radio Land. What a day the Lord has made. What a glorious day it is to be alive in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the day that the Lord has made. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, whatever situation, let me just say He is more than enough, my friend. Whatever you're up against, whatever mountain is in front of you, whatever sickness has been declared over you, He is more than enough. He is more than enough. Hallelujah. May the Lord of peace give you peace today. May Jehovah Raphael, our healer, give you healing today. May Jehovah Jireh, our provider, give you providence. Whatever it is that you need, let me just say He is more than enough. But just shoot us right into it. He's not a sugar daddy, so He's not somebody you just sit back and say, put your request in.
That's right.
He's not somebody you try out, you audition. He is somebody you surrender to. So give Him your all this very day. Give Him your all and let Him be glorified in your life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, let's start around the table. Miss Jeannie, how are you doing this morning?
I'm behind.
Behind?
Yeah.
Well.
But I'm almost here.
He's right on time.
I'm almost here.
All right. Miss Karen, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great.
Doing great. Miss Crystal, how are you doing this morning?
I'm great. I'm blessed and highly favored.
Amen. And Miss Hannah?
Amen. Doing well.
Hey, you didn't forget. You forgot your.
Oh, my gratitude.
That's it.
Still full of gratitude.
Okay. That's supposed to be your marker now. All right. Well, we are excited for this day, August the 19th, 2025. The weather is going to be hot, but a chance of storms, I think, later in the day.
Yay.
We need the rain tremendously. And then tomorrow, this is going to bring tears to my eyes. Could be 83.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. And then it's going to go all the way down to Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week when Fair Week starts, which we'll be at 74,
oh,
75, yeah. 76.
It was bad last year. It was hot.
It was. It looks like a very pretty week next week. It was hot. I remember that Tuesday. It was pretty sweaty out there.
What fair are you talking about?
Grayson County.
Grayson. Okay.
Yeah, we will.
I'm way behind.
Our booth will be back up that this year. And we met a lot of great people last year and got to have a lot of great conversations with a lot of good, just amazing people. And so we're excited to be back mm-hmm. this year again. So if you're at Grayson County Fair, come see us. Lord willing, I think we'll be in the same booth we was last year, right across the alleyway from, what was it, Band Booster, their
uh-huh.
food thing.
The
so
band concession.
Yeah, which is going to be rough this year. Last year, I could just eat what I wanted. not this year. Fair's going to be a lot different for me this year.
Yeah, those funnel cakes are a no-no.
Yeah. Well, I conquered them at Holiday World not too long ago.
Did
but
you?
But it's I think the thing that's probably going to get me is the 12-inch corn dogs because I love the corn dogs.
Do a turkey leg. No.
It's just not the same as a corn dog, Miss Crystal.
I tried.
It's a good I agree. It's a good attempt. But
yeah.
Those corn dogs are whew. All right. Well, anyways, enough about my food.
Well, I was going to say, the only time the conversation about food is any count is if the food is sitting in front of you.
Well, that's true. I take some this morning. All right. Well, it's going to be a beautiful day. It is going to be high of 94, so it's going to be hot until the rain and storms come in later on. And then it's supposed to storm again tomorrow. But it's supposed to cool down dramatically over the next after today. So praise God for that. And just really excited for what the Lord's doing, hearing a lot of great testimonies, hearing a lot of great reports. I guess as much as the enemy wants to fight, we always have to be reminded God is the victor. And as we said Sunday, it's a come out, but we're going in. It's not just about leaving Egypt. It's about going into the promised land.
That's right.
And it's not just about deliverance or being set free. It's about walking in something. You get set free so you can walk in the fullness of what God has for you. And we are going forward and we're not just leaving Egypt no more. We're going to walk in the promised land. Amen. And that's the cry of so many people that I'm hearing and so many ministers that I'm here preaching saying the same thing. It's we're very good at taking off things, but we're not always so good at putting on things. Mm-hmm. And how many times is the New Testament, Romans 13, Colossians 3, all throughout the New Testament, it tells us to put on Christ or put on something. Doesn't just say take off the old man. Mm-hmm. He's actually saying put on the new man. So you got to clothe yourself with something because you can't run around without anything.
Right.
And so clothe yourself, as Colossians, we preach Sunday, with humility and kindness, meekness. Clothe yourself with forgiveness. Clothe yourself with Christ. Romans 13, similar, very same things. Clothe yourself, put on Christ, make no provision for the flesh. Do not gratify its desires. We are crucifying it. And so that's the season. I hear so many people saying we've cried for freedom so long that we get freedom, we don't know what to do with it. Because that's been our only cry was freedom. And I think freedom is necessary, absolutely, and we should cry for freedom. But we should also cry for the promised land and to walk in the fullness of what God has for us. And so it's the come out and come in that we've been really in our hearts lately. So, amen. Got a couple of announcements. Don't forget the, my app's slow to open this morning. Holy Ghost Tent Revival starting here in McDaniels, Kentucky, with Brother Zachary Capps, Brother Clifton Potter, and Brother Mike Free, starting August 21st through the August the 30th. And then the Brush Harbor services in Caneyville, Kentucky, Brother Roy Dockery and Delbert Docker, they're going to be doing that. Brother Roy's part of the Box 2 Radio family. And that is, again, September 22nd. And then our Share-a-thon's right around the corner, just about 5-6 weeks away. Wow. September 24th, 25th, and 26th. Again, 24th, 25th, and 26th is our fall Share-a-thon here for the Box 2 Radio family. And we're very much excited about those days, and just expecting the Lord to do some amazing things in those 3 days, not just meeting the needs but also changing lives. It's an incredible 3 days of 10 hours a day radio, and it's just amazing. It's exhausting. And by about the 30th hour, you're about half slap happy, and everything becomes funny about 26th hour in. But it's very good, and it's the Lord always shows up in tremendous ways. So
amen.
Am I missing any announcements? Anybody else getting to the table?
Don't forget that Ducking Hunger Regatta.
Yes.
That'll be Labor Day at the Litchfield Aquatic Center. And it's not too late to get your duck in there in the race. So $5, they can somehow turn it into 40 meals for people that are hungry.
Meals,
so.
M-E-A-L-S.
Yeah. M-E-A-L-S.
I did think for a second she said 40 meals.
$5 worth of food somehow turns into 40 meals.
I need to learn that trick. I need to learn that blessing right there.
So, someone's behind it.
But truly, though, Ms. Debbie, she really is gifted for, you know, being just resourceful and the Lord, I believe, has really anointed her to help.
Yeah, she really did.
To help the community with figuring those things out, making the connections. And so I'm thankful for the food pantry. So, again, that's Labor Day. That'll be. And then you can, $5, you go on their website, buy a duck, and get in the race.
So. Get your duck in the race.
Yeah. And then
I like duck races. I like turtle races. You ever been to a turtle race? I have many times.
Was it exciting?
It is very exciting.
Kind of slow pace.
An older couple told me one year, it was at the Caneyville Fair, the way to win is make sure that your turtle is warm before you get there. Because when they cover them in the center, and then they're in a circle, they got whoever breaks the plane first wins. So they put a cover on them, and then they open it up, and they start walking. Some of them never come out of the shell.
Huh.
But she
feel like
said,
they could preach
you need
somehow.
To get your turtle warm before you start.
I feel like this could turn into a sermon tonight.
Light that fire. I do have an announcement. Bethel School, BCA, is having a volleyball game on Saturday and on Monday. So Saturday is at 3 o'clock. I mean, they have several games, so if you need to know, and we have a whole calendar here, but Saturday is a game at 3 o'clock and one on Monday at 5:30. Those are home games. And on Tuesday. And tonight, the team is going to Owensboro, so I'm going to head that way after school. And but Saturday, Monday, and Tuesday of next week, there are volleyball games here at the school.
I need a schedule.
A lot of fun.
I need to find that schedule.
Mm-hmm. I'll send that to you right now.
Thank you.
That?
I don't have social media, so I don't have any of this cool stuff. I'm behind in the world.
Sometimes it's good.
Yeah.
I'm behind in the world.
I think it might be on the Facebook, too.
I don't have Facebook.
You don't do.
Oh, yeah.
Memorial.
Go the old-fashioned way there, Crystal.
Yeah.
Just text it.
She's got my back. Thank you. All right. Memorial Chapel Church of God also is having their homecoming coming up September 14th. And that is special guest speaker Jeff Daugherty, and then singing Open Heart Quartet, noon pitch-in meal potluck. Bring it on. That is September the 14th there at Memorial Chapel Church of God, a.k.a. Custer Church of God. Amen. And then, of course, one more. Hannah, we forgot this one. I got to get this in there. Brother Wayne and Potter's Hope. Where's that at? That you
September 3rd, Kent Christmas.
Yeah, that's it. You're good, Miss Crystal.
Well, yeah.
She's in the know.
She's going.
Yeah. September the 3rd, Kent Christmas is going to be there at Potter's Hope, 633 Kent
Meeting. Yes. Service, yes.
So.
Why is it 633?
Matthew 633.
Duh. I should have known that.
Yeah. All righty. Well.
Seek ye first.
All right, well, we are in the book of Mark. In the book of Mark this morning. I feel like we, Greg Carwell said September 3rd is his birthday.
Aww.
Put it on the announcements.
All right, I'll put it on the announcements, Greg. What verse did we end on yesterday, really, Miss Hannah? 24?
I think so.
Yeah, we're on verse 24.
Because we started
chapter 12.
Chapter 13. Mark chapter 13,
yes.
Verse 24.
And we started the new paragraph, so.
But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven. And the powers in the heavens will be shaken, and when they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds and from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. So this is his second coming, and this is what they were talking about, the coming of the Son of Man. Now the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. I think that could mean a lot of different things. We're in the book of Revelation, so we've been studying this quite a bit lately. Stars you have to see as a lot of times when there are stars being shown as celestial beings. Mm. And we do see in Revelation 9, we see in Revelation 10 and 8 and all that area right there where there will be demonic things falling from the skies. There will be the locust army that are coming from the bottomless pit, from the abyss. They're going to be dropped. They're going to be shaken. The powers of heaven will be shaken, which basically the powers from above, which very much could be at that point cosmic. It could be the cosmos. It could be that shaken, the powers of the heavens, because heaven means cosmos or sky. Doesn't necessarily have to mean the place of heaven. And so it could be the powers of the heavens, the powers of the cosmos. It could at that point be meteorites or asteroids. You could have what we postulate, and I seriously think it'll play a big part in the eschatology and Revelation. And you go back to Revelation chapter 8 to see the woes, and Revelation 7 with the trumpets. I believe there will probably most likely be a super volcano that will be detrimental to the world. And then I think about the same time there's a mountain that crashes into the sea called Wormwood. And I think that could very well be a large asteroid or meteorite, whatever they're called when they actually hit the earth. I get all confused on those. But here I think you could see a lot of things unraveling with these right here. And then the Son of Man after these days of tribulation. And the moon being darkened and the sun being darkened, the moon not giving its light, is I believe myself, this is just what I see in Revelation. Whenever you really start to dive out, you could do a lot of spiritual implication, but I see it as actually the super volcano that will unleash havoc, and then the ash and the dust from that super volcano will actually black out the sun. And if the sun's blocked out, what happens? The moon doesn't give off its light either. Right. And so both lights and the reflection of the sun is hindered. And so I really do believe at this point probably a super volcano is going to be very pivotal in the seven trumpets.
It's going to affect everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The tides and everything.
I think that actually already happened as far as, you know, in a small area. But, you know, when that volcano, I think it was in Oregon, when that went off, and it really darkened the sky. I forget all that ash and everything.
Yeah.
So it was really, this is the first scripture I thought of when that took place.
Yeah. Hmm.
Because that I thought, well, that's a way right there that this could be fulfilled.
Yeah, and we really don't know the extremities and the bigness of what's under the sea for undersea volcano. We have huge ones on the earth that we know's there.
Right.
But you get into like over in Japan and that area with so many islands and so many mountains and so many undersea things going on. We don't know the severity of what's underneath the ocean.
You saw that with that tsunami. That came into Japan.
Yeah.
And was that a volcano mm-hmm. or just a ship?
A lot of times they are under. I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of these islands they say started out as little undersea volcanoes. And so I really do believe that the power, and then of course you could, there's a lot of things you could rain balls of fire. Well, that very well could be a massive. I think you had to see where so many times in Revelation the Lord really is using natural ways to accomplish what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And he showed us that actually all the way back in Egypt with the 10 plagues. He used very natural things. And natural phenomenons and things, and he has used weather quite a bit. And I think in eschatology and Revelation, there's not really much difference. And this is what this is alluding to. And I think that the locust army from Revelation 8 and the fifth trumpet, they're demons, and they're demons ready to fight, and they're demonic entities, and they are they're coming from the abyss because there's already demons in chains, and so they're going to be leased out. And I think this is what it's talking about, not to rehash Wednesday nights, but I think this is very similar. And this is the second coming when he comes and gets his saints from the four corners of the earth. This isn't the rapture of the church. This is the second coming. Mm. And they holds and his elect from the four winds and from the four ends of the earth to the four ends of heaven. He's basically just collecting all of his saints together. And at the second coming, that's when he's separating the sheep and the goat and the wheat and the tares. And there's a lot here. Mm-hmm. But we are... It's like, it's hard because so many of you guys are listening on Wednesday nights and coming on Wednesday nights too. It's like, so how much do you rehash when you cover this?
But you got a radio audience.
Yeah.
Rehashing.
Yeah.
Not a bad idea.
But it's...
especially with these things because it's easy to get it.
Because there's people on the other side of this radio that are like, what?
I've heard it all my life and I still don't understand.
I do think one thing we don't talk enough about in eschatology is not just the phenomenon of natural means he's going to accomplish, but how important his angels are to accomplishing the fulfillment of it. Because here, who's the one that collects the saints?
His angels.
His angels. Who's the ones blowing the trumpets? His angels. Mm-hmm. Who's the one carrying the seal and telling John to eat it in Revelation 10? The angel. And that's not Jesus. It was just an angel because that angel looks up into the heavens and says, I swear by the one who created the world and who did this. Wasn't Jesus holding the scroll. It was an angel that brought the scroll and fed it to John. Mm-hmm. His angels are very pivotal in eschatology and what's going on in the book of Revelation and here even too. Like, you know, he tells the angels to hold off the fork whenever he's, I think it's Revelation. You'll have to help me a little bit. I'm off the mind here. Revelation 7, I think it is, whenever he's getting ready to anoint and put the seal on the 144,000. Revelation 6, he's actually seeing the great multitude come from the great tribulation who's worshiping, the song of heaven's change, and all these kind of things are cool happening. But it's actually the angels of the earth that he says, angels, I need you to go to the four corners and hold off the destruction for a minute. Don't pour anything else out on the earth. It's the angels that will actually execute the judgment, and they will actually execute the wrath. Over and over, we see that. The Lamb was the one who broke the seal, who started it. He owns the title deed to the earth, but he was the one that broke the deed and broke the seal, but the angels are the one actually going to be executing the judgment and pouring out the wrath. And the angels are the one that holds the trumpet and the bowls, which are the prayers of the saints. The angels are there. And so I think angels are very much underestimated of what's going to take place in Revelation.
It's him coming in authority this time in a different way than he was the first time.
Absolutely.
You know, he's the director of it now. Before, he just was moving, you know, according. But now he's coming in a different position.
Yeah.
As a lion.
Yeah. And you make a good point, because the first time he didn't use the angels. Because he came down as a lamb to lay his life down. This time he's coming as a lion,
right?
And he will roar, and he's bringing his army with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, when Jeannie and I were going through Matthew, you know, we noticed more than one time it seemed like the tone of the conversation shifted. It amped up. His speech became different than it was the chapter before, and it was because he was establishing something, his position on this earth after he left, but now he's coming full authority. Mm-hmm. It's all his. It's mm-hmm. all his.
Yeah, and the millennial will be established, and we are going to, there was some questions from what the verse we read yesterday from Revelation. We're actually going to tackle that tomorrow in depth. Hannah, help me out here. You send it to me.
Yeah, it was a question about
Revelation 24 through 6. So we'll talk about the first and the second resurrection, and we're going to talk about some millennial things. And we'll jump the gun a little bit on Wednesday night teaching. We're skipping about 10 chapters, but we'll be in chapter – we start chapter 11 of Revelation tomorrow night in the study together, and we're going to do Revelation 20 tomorrow together on the radio. Then we'll do it again when we get to that chapter on Wednesday nights. But yeah. All right. So that's a little bit of a coverage on that. And, we'll be covering some more in depth tomorrow on Revelation and, what's going on there. So let's move on to verse 28. The fig tree now. From the fig tree, learn its lesson.
You know, I was just sitting here looking at this, but when we jumped over to Revelation 6,
sure,
okay, and they talked about the same thing here, that the earthquake and the moon the didn't give us light, the sun was darkened and all that, and then it said about the figs,
mm-hmm,
about the fig tree. Did you see it?
Mm-hmm.
And now here, again, he's saying the same things, but now he's going right into the story of now learn the parable of the fig tree. And they're connected in what he's doing and talking about as
absolutely
far as his coming.
Absolutely.
And, well, I mean, it's just, I don't know that I really paid attention to that fig tree story in Revelation.
Right.
Until I saw it here.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that either, Jeannie. That's awesome.
Just because the fig tree has become, what it represents has become so instrumental in what he's doing with the system and religion and all these kind of things. And, it's a very good catch. And it's marvelous how the Bible works together, don't it?
Mm-hmm. I love it.
2,000 years, 40 different authors, 66 different books, and yet it's still perfect harmony.
Yeah.
From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and put out its leaf, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near. At the very gates, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So he's saying, take heed, just like the fig tree. And the fig tree has become so instrumental in so many of his parables and stories. Here he's like, when it see the leaves, you know summer's here. Whenever you see these things taking place, you know Jesus is coming.
Right.
Peter reminds us, and I think this is what you all studied in Sunday school Sunday morning, right, Miss Karen, if I'm not mistaken, where Peter says there's going to be many come to you and say he's not coming. There's going to be a lot of false prophets that say he's not coming. There's going to be a lot of people that saying he lied or he didn't do this, and he's slack concerning his promises. But then that's when he says he's not slack concerning his promise. I'm telling you, he is coming. Don't fall for that nonsense. And just as this said, heaven and earth will pass away, but his words never will. He's saying his word will be kept. And Peter warns us of that. Romans 1 warns us of that. Over and over, we get these warnings. Do not think just because it hasn't happened yet, it's not going to happen. Jesus is going to keep his word. And he's saying, and really what we need to look at now is the fig tree. Is it leafy? And a lot of people want to look at wars, turmoil. The two things I look at, whenever I look at eschatology, these are two things I always go back to, and is Israel and the church. I don't focus on the markets of the world. I'm not trying to figure out the mark of the beast. I'm not trying to figure out, well, who's going to get Magog and Gog. I think all those things will really happen naturally. What I'm looking at is Israel and the church, because I think there will be distinctive things happening within the church, and there will be distinctive things happening with Israel. I'm not looking at the war between Ukraine and Russia to figure out if Jesus is coming back. I'm not looking at the stock market to figure out if Jesus is coming back. What I'm looking at is what's going on with Israel. Is there a Magog and Gog? Is there a Northern Alliance that's going to descend upon Israel? What's the world's attitude towards Israel? Because all the nations of the earth will have to turn against her. The natural things are going to happen. There'll be an escalation, and they should be a sign to us, as Jesus is telling us. They're going to be a sign. But so often I'm looking at the church and I'm looking at Israel and I'm seeing what's going on with them too. And And I think you'll see, like, whenever that, like, just Hurricane Helene was a horrible hurricane. It pales in comparison to what these signs will be when they really are here. You won't miss these signs. If you are awake and in the spirit, you will not. I mean, Hurricane Helene was a horrible hurricane. It's devastation. They're still reeling from that hurricane. But it's nothing compared to what's going to happen with these signs of his coming whenever they're in this. Actually, we're in the book of, or the time of sorrows, or Jacob's sorrows, however you want to. They're going to be, it's going to be bad. And again, it's, if you're a believer, take heart. He's for you. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping to, I'm not a pre-trib person. I'm signing up for that one. If I get to choose, I'm putting my vote in for pre-trib. I'm prepared to go. I think I'm mid-trib. I will, and then I really hope I'm not post-trib. But I'm willing to take whatever train is taking us up. But but I tend to be more mid-trib. I do.
You know what verse 31 is? It means so much to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure anybody that's been with the Lord any kind of time, that his word shall not pass away. Mm-hmm. You know, and we hold tight to what he said. I mean, it means everything to me. I mean, it's the thing that gets me through the hard day.
That's right.
Is that what he said will always stand. Mm-hmm. You know, and so when heaven and earth passes away and I'm still holding on to the word, where am I at? I'm still with him.
Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we sang that song Sunday, and it said, if I only hear one word from you, I've heard it all. And I thought, how true is that? Again, I mean, he speaks many words, but, you know, the thing of it is what you're saying there is that for me, I've got one word, and I, every day or every week or whenever I think of that word, I find out it was more than it was yesterday, you know. And I've hung on to it for years. And, I mean, it's one word. But, of course, all of his word, it matters to me. And I've heard so much. But a word from him is everything. Because he's put his everything into every word he speaks. And it's never going to change. It, for me, it just grows and grows and grows and grows.
Mm-hmm.
It'll take you through the hard day.
That's so good.
I feel like we probably need to do this because I know this is a very common question. Verse 30, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. This is where the ideology of AD 70 really comes in the fullest extent. So in AD 70, we're talking about what would be called the preterist movement. And preterist is a viewpoint of eschatology that says everything has already taken place.
Yeah.
And it's already been fulfilled. And it fulfilled in AD 70 under the Roman Empire during the Jewish Rebellion, whenever the temple was destroyed on August the 10th in AD 70. And so I don't think this is what that verse is talking about. I think he's saying this generation who sees these signs, they'll see the coming of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I think there's dualistic. I think there's some things that have been fulfilled. And I think there's some things that's been foreshadowed in the AD 70 judgment. But the AD 70 judgment was to Israel. This judgment will be to the whole world. Mm-hmm. So that's why I like to say almost the way I see it, which may be different, is a foreshadowing judgment. It's almost a shadow of what's to come, the AD 70 judgment. But that was judging Israel. And that was a judgment placed upon Israel for the rejection of the Messiah. But if you keep... I think it's only a shadow what's going to take place to the whole world. And I think that here there will be a generation that sees these signs. These signs we have not seen. Like blood moons are not these signs. I think we want to make this and we write our books and we write all these things, but the blood moons are not what, they're just a natural recourse of, they're actually natural things taking place that happen so often. An asteroid shooting across the world is not, the social security number was not the mark of the beast. Odds are just a computer chip in your hand's not going to be the mark of the beast. Like, we keep looking for these markers. But I'm wanting to tell you, like, we're not going to be caught as a thief in the night. So when these signs really come, we will really know it.
Well, the translation for that generation can mean an age, a generation, a nation, or a time.
Mm-hmm.
A period of time.
A dispensation, yeah.
And you said foreshadowing. That, so throughout history, the Bible's been fulfilled here and there.
Yeah.
There's a portion of it looks like, okay, that was it. No, that wasn't it. But that was a foreshadowing of its coming.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, just like the abomination of desolation happened, three times already?
Roughly, yeah.
So there's so many things that have just gave you the hint, this is happening. It will happen.
Yeah.
But it's happened.
But there's coming a time.
Happened, but there's coming.
There's coming. Yeah. It's the shadows. Right. It's the foreshadowing of it. And that's where eschatology gets fun to study.
I didn't feel fun.
But it's. But I think we always have to go back to Revelation 10. And we'll take a break after this. Because we're going to dive a lot more into the first and second resurrection tomorrow and kind of unpack Revelation 20, verse 4 through 6. We're going to take great length tomorrow to do that the best we can. But I think John 10 is probably the greatest chapter to understand how we should feel about Revelation. I do enjoy studying Revelation because it says, blessed is the man who does it happy. Like, you should read Revelation, and it should make you happy. And that's what John... When the angel feeds John the scroll, John, it says to him, and I think this is very significant, it was honey to his mouth, but bitter to his stomach.
Yeah, that's.
And I think that is a very significant statement, because that's basically saying it's going to be hard to digest what you're going to read, but it's very sweet when you get it.
Yeah.
And I think if we see Revelation for really what it is, it's not the end of time. It's actually the beginning of the fullness of the kingdom. But some things will have to be renewed and judged. And that's where Hebrews says that all-consuming fire, everything that's not of him will be burned up. Because for shalom to be in the fullest effect upon the earth, shalom is authority and a victory over the chaos. Chaos is destroyed. Cancer is destroyed. Fallen, cursed world is destroyed. It's not about the destruction of humanity. It's about actually the building of his kingdom. But people are judged, and the earth is judged in a lot of senses. And so I think that's where it's bitter, because hearing all that's going to take place is tough and rough to digest, and it should be. But it should be sweet in our mouth when we realize why we're actually eating it. And that's the best. That's probably been the best chapter to digest for Revelation for me, is just the sweet as honey in your mouth, but bitter in your stomach when you read it. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break, read our first trivia question, and when we come back, the ladies have got it. I'm just here this morning then. I've turned it into producer at that point. I'll take producer every morning if I can get it. I'll just push buttons. In the book of John, where did Jesus tell the blind man to go wash the mud from his eyes? In the book of John, where did Jesus tell the blind man to go wash the mud from his eyes? 270-257-2689. We will be right back here after the break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. Box 2 Radio, this is Aaron. How may I help you? All right, I'm just getting us back in here and letting these women fly off where they want to. All I'm doing is, Miss Sierra Higdon got it right, Pool of Siloam. Pool of Siloam is the answer. Amen.
She's getting it. She was getting that Chick-fil-A card.
Yes.
That's what she was.
All right, I don't know where you all are going, but somebody take us off somewhere. we got laptops, we got phones, we got Bibles. I feel like I just need to get my notebook or something here.
I usually bring my Bible, and I think I like it better than trying to use my laptop. I don't know. I'm used to those old pages swapping.
I like those old pages.
Yeah. I will say.
I know why Crystal didn't want to bring her Bible. Karen's going to try to make her give it away again.
Oh, yeah.
She said, I've stopped bringing this thing.
I told Todd that. I said, I don't know. I kind of want to just, like, come against those words. I don't know. But I don't want to be disobedient.
But you get to start all over in a new book.
I don't want to start all over.
So she's like you problem solved.
Spiritually, I do.
Just leave it at home.
I'm not saying I'm, you know, like, I don't want to relearn everything, but it's like, I have so many, this goes with this and this goes with, oh, Lord, it would just mess.
Well, you know, I've got, I have an old Bible that belonged to my Aunt B. Mm-hmm. And
sure, of course you had an Aunt B.
I had an uncle, yeah. I had an Uncle Joe, too.
Did you have Andy in there or Barney in there?
Hey, Charlotte. But, you know, it was back before they had highlighters. You know, they didn't have yellow highlighters. Oh, yeah. And every once in a while, I'll get her Bible out, and I'll just flip through it. Because what she would do is when something really meant something, you know, it really spoke to her, she would take a pencil and lightly highlight it. Mm. And so I will go through her Bible and just read those places that where she found herself. Mm. And, you know, it speaks to me.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's really something.
I have my mama's Bible like that. Yeah. And she has all kind of scriptures that she, you know, she prayed over us. There's one, the whole back, you know, we have notes in the back. She had a whole page of a prayer she prayed over us. So I sent a picture to my brothers, and of course we all cried, you know, that kind of thing.
Wow.
You know? And I have, we each got one of my daddy's Bibles.
But that's, you know, those are testimonies, I think. Those are those monuments that will be, that have been built that stand still today.
And just to know they read that and they prayed over that and they, you know, it just does something to you. You probably have your grandma somewhere, your mom probably does
somewhere probably. Yeah, well, it's having me think about, you know, as a mom now,
oh yeah,
these things, like, yeah, it's like, wow.
And that's why I said I gotta get rid of my Bible, Karen.
Oh, leave it,
leave that for,
leave
my,
it for
that's
the legacy
between you and the Lord. That's between you and the Lord.
I just don't know how to pray about it.
I'm gonna tell a story that's probably not gonna be the best. I don't know, but I still like it.
But you had permission, so.
Well, Grandma's gone to glory. But we were going through Grandma's Bible, and she was already gone, and we were all gathered at her house, and we were going through the Bible and found a picture. And it was Grandma and Grandpa, and Grandma was pregnant. Uh-huh. And then we looked at the date.
Uh-oh.
It was an uh-oh. And we laughed. I mean, they got married and everything, but it did happen before they got married. Mm. It was such a shock.
Right.
Because, you know, Grandma, she raised us in church.
That's Grandma.
That's Grandma. She didn't do that. We got relations.
That's that word. Grandma, what are you doing?
But it was so sweet. Uh-huh. It was just sweet. Of course, they were married, you know, 60 years, and they stayed together and went through everything. But
they were human.
They were definitely
they
that.
Had flesh.
So it was pretty cool.
You find the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Where are we going, ladies?
I don't know. What's on your heart?
Well, I have something on my heart, if
I
want
knew
to.
That.
this is not actually my word, but I took it. You know how I always watch a Karen Wheaton video, and I was on YouTube and I saw this little real clip thing, and it was Jensen Franklin, and he was just talking about, and I took it and I ran with it because I'm believing God for a member, and we don't have to talk about this every week. I'm not going to do that, but what he was saying was, whatever you're going through, whatever you're praying about, whatever you're dealing with, we're praying even for a situation with Todd's job, you know, believing God for direction in that area and other areas. And and this is all he said was in John 6:6. Well, I'm sorry, verse 1 to put it in context. All it is, Jesus feeds the 5,000. Not all it is. That was a mighty thing. I didn't mean to take away from it. I'm going to read it real quick. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they, I thought I could see this, they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up to the mountain. There he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the Feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes and seeing a large crowd was coming, he said this to test them, for he himself knew what he would do. And that was the point in that little video, that little reel thing, is Jesus already knows where we're at. And it's like, well, duh, that's so simple. But if you start breaking it down all through the Bible of the story of the demon-possessed man, the blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, and Matthew 12:25, I'm just going to read a couple of places where it says this. Knowing their thoughts, he said to them, because he's talking to them, the Pharisees, knowing their thoughts. He already knew. And then, and he says, every kingdom against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand, knowing their thoughts. And that brought, and I've been serving, like all of us, serving the Lord a long time, and we've known this, we've taught it, we've spoke it, but you know how revelation from the Word comes? Mm-hmm. It's active and sharper than a two-edged sword. And every day it brings revelation. And to me, it brought the revelation. Not only do I know Him, He knows me, and He already knew. And when you get that revelation of how magnificent that is, that God already knows my situation. He already knows. It says, knowing their thoughts. It says, for He Himself knew what He would do. He already knew what the plan was, you know. And then Jesus, in John 2:23, now when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in His name when they saw the signs that He was doing. But Jesus, on His part, did not entrust Himself to them, because He knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for He Himself knew what was in man. He already knows. He knows what situation I need to do. He knows what's going to happen with my person that I'm praying for, or the several people that I'm praying for. He knows direction we're going to take. He already knows. We just have to tap into it. We have to begin to say, God, You already know. And so yesterday, after I heard this, I've heard some bad news too, some situations going on and different things. And I said, God, but You already know. You already know, God. It's that You knew the thoughts. And it's like, well, we already know all that, but when you get a revelation, maybe it was just for me, in the fact that He knew what they were going to do. He knows what the people I'm praying for are going to do. He knows what I'm going to do. He already knows. I can trust and I can rest in that. Hebrews says that we need to, Hebrews 4 says we can walk in a Sabbath rest. We are, have a rest from God that we can walk in, where we just know He knows. Now, we still need to pray. We still need to read. We still need to study. But when we come into the point of He already knows, He knew even before what was going to happen to Him, but He still walked through it, you know, and all these things. Let's look at John 5:5 says, one man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he'd already been there a long time, Jesus already knew. You know, we think He just walked up there and said, oh, come here. Jesus already knew He'd been laying there. He said, you know, and He says, do you want to be healed? Of course, the man did. We know the story. The man was raised up, right? But Jesus knew. And in John 6:60, when many of the disciples heard, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in Himself that His disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do not take offense. And these are just different stories. All I'm doing is I highlighted the words that said, but Jesus already knew in Himself what they were doing. They were grumbling. And so it's a revelation of, not only do I know Him, you know, we sing, I know a name, you know, I call him Jesus, you know that song. And then
we did it last night.
He knows my name. He knows my name, you know my name, all those things. And when we get that revelation of He already knows. He knows about your healing. He knows and can give you wisdom in it. He knows about our prodigals. He knows about direction. He knows where we're already supposed to be. And that brings such peace to my heart. And like I said, maybe it's just for me, but I thought I'd bring it and share it, that it said He already knew what He was going to do. He already knew. But He asked the question to test them, what do you think is going to happen here? You know, and it was a test for them to say, are we going to believe God? Or, and they said, well, we got, you know, 2 loaves and 5 fish. I mean, whatever, you know. And but Jesus already knew when He walked up there, well, before He asked Him the question. And we talk about it all through the Bible. Before we even pray, God knows. He knows. He ordained us in the womb. He knows what's going to happen, right? So I don't know if you all want to share. It's not a real deep, but it was just revelation for me that if you can come into that revelation that God already knows. He already knows. And we can trust that God, You see. My daddy, I've said it on here several times. My daddy used to say, now God, I've prayed. I'm standing on Your word. I'm going to bed and You've got a problem. So I'm going to go on to sleep and it's Yours. And he'd go to sleep. He'd always say, God, You got a problem, but I'm going to sleep because I trust You. And if we could come into that knowing that, God, you already know. You already know.
Yeah. You know, there was a time, not, I don't know that it was very long ago, but, you know, the verse that talks about Jesus was tempted in every way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I came to an understanding that that's exactly what that meant. That he was tempted in every way.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were talking, it made me think about this time that I was talking to him about something that was going on in my life, and it was about my house. I thought that there was a possibility I was going to lose my home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to him about it, and he said to me, I know exactly how you feel.
Mm. Yeah.
Because he left his home.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
He left, and you know, the thing of it is that I think for me, one of the things he already knew, I think a lot of times for me, that gives me great comfort, and it also causes me to trust him in a way that I maybe didn't before, because it says he was tempted in every way. He really does know what it's like to stand up right. against temptation.
Mm-hmm.
Any temptation that I might have, he really knows how to walk through right. that. And, I mean, he does know, because it says he was tempted in every way. He was tempted to have a hard heart like me, but he did not. He had, and I've always felt like he had to know those things in order to really become my high priest, to really be able to communicate with me on a level that would make me, because when he said, I know exactly how you feel, I knew he did.
Right.
And it made me trust him more. It made me open up more as far as what I would say to him. And could say to him, but he really does. Now again, I know that is me as a believer, and I do think he knew what the Pharisees, but that was a discernment. You know, I don't know, that might be something different, but for me to know he has been through everything that I have known,
mm-hmm.
he's been tempted.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he sinned not.
Right.
It just gives me great trust. He knows what I'm talking about because he walked through it himself.
It's Hebrews. Hebrews 2, and he said, we see Jesus. What do we see? We see him made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, for it became him.
Mm-hmm.
Verse King James. For whom all things, and by whom are all things, to bring many sons to glory, he made the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. He wasn't being made perfect, finally got it right,
yeah.
perfect, uh-huh. but he was being the perfect right. high priest for you.
Sacrifice.
He was the perfect one
mm-hmm.
to go to the cross, and he was also the perfect one to take your confession of faith.
And he knew he was going to the cross. He
yeah.
knew that.
Yeah.
You know?
And he did it anyway for us, you know. And so just, like I said, it's just a revelation of, and again, I'm sure I've had this revelation over and over all through my life as long as we've served the Lord. But when we can, when we're facing trials or we're facing situations we just don't want to do, we've been talking about the word about how we need wisdom in it and it brings it. When you can just trust that, God, I have done everything I can do naturally, you know. And I know you know. I know you know what's going to happen. I know you already see the end result. You already know the prodigals. You already know the direction. You know plans. You know purposes. He says in Psalms 139, I know the days that were ordained for you. Before you were even formed in your mother's womb, I knew how many days you were going to have. I knew what you're going to do. Now, we may mess the plan up sometimes, but he knows that even. He even knows that we're going to mess mm-hmm. the plan up. And when we can trust the fact that, God, you know, and I'm standing on your word, and I'm speaking your word, and so you're going to take that word, and you're going to use that word. But, it says that he tested them to see, but he already knew what he was going to do. He already knew. Jesus already knows what, you know, for anyone out there this morning, and because I know I've taken it for me, he already knows So I can just trust God. I just begin to give you praise. I give you glory that you already know, God. And I just participate in the plan, and I just say, God, I pray protection. I thank you, Father. I give you glory. I'm grateful for the answers now. And we praise him now because he already knows. He knows who I am. He knows where I'm going. He knows what's going to happen in my family and in direction. And it just brings such a peace. And so we just praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I give you glory.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a, and what you're saying is absolutely right. You know, and we reach a place where we have his word. We have his, he said so. Okay, I'm going to stay. I'm going with this. I'm going with him. I'm going with what he said. And you just praise him, mm-hmm, and trust him. Mm-hmm. But then there's a place that goes further than that, I think. And that's where he begins to give you the wisdom of it.
That's mm-hmm. right.
And because he has been made unto me right. wisdom. And righteousness and sanctification. Right. So, there's a walking out here mm-hmm. that he begins to open your eyes to say, you know, yeah. he gives the word in due season. He gives the guidance of don't go that way. Don't do it. I know you plan to do this today, but don't do it today. Mm-hmm. And we start hearing precise. Definite yes. footsteps.
Yes.
And I just want to encourage whoever's listening to go for the further. Go for mm-hmm. the go yeah, thank him, praise him, trust him. I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting you, Lord. But then let him show you in the journey. Today we need to turn left here.
Yeah. Okay? Make that step. Yeah.
And 'cause God's guiding you into the very mm-hmm. thing that he sees.
That's right.
That he sees. You know, yeah. I told a couple last night. You know, they say, people say, I always come up with these little clever things anyway, and that's how God geared me. But he said, you know, they said, how you doing, Jeannie? And I always respond, or not always, but a lot of times I'll say, depends on which seat I sit in. And of course, now I've got their attention.
Yeah.
And, you know, because you have a seat in the natural. Mm-hmm. Here's what's happening mm-hmm. today. This mm-hmm. is what's happening
right.
in my life. But then I have this seat over here where I'm with him in mm-hmm. heavenly places. And there's a whole lot that overshadows what's happening in my
That's
life
right.
today.
Right.
So from this seat, everything is good. Mm-hmm. It's all
Amen.
Good.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, and yeah. so, of course, you know, I've kind of looked at with two heads and all that. But, you know, it's the truth.
It is the truth.
Amen.
It really is the truth. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago about kingdom, mm-hmm. you know.
This is part of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You know, what you were saying there, it is the wholeness of. And, you know, he's bringing these things into your life so that there does come this place where you see things that you normally, because you're looking at it from his perspective. You're talking to him, what, when, where,
well, he's
where.
He's knowing me and I'm yeah.
Exactly.
Him.
That's right. That's
We're
right.
Both.
Right.
We're both. You know, yeah. that scripture even.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said, depart from me, I never knew you. Mm-hmm. I read that scripture one day, and I, you know, saw that they're doing all these great things for God.
Yeah.
They were doing a lot, you know, in your name, Lord, we're casting out devils. I mean, that's working for the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he said, depart from me, I never knew you. And he said to me that day when I read that, he said, I didn't say they never knew me.
Right. Mm.
And he, in that moment, I understood
right.
the relationship mm-hmm. he's asked us for.
Absolutely.
In
yeah.
a great way. Because right. he's not saying you don't know who he is.
Right.
He's not saying that you didn't know all about him.
Right.
And that the things that you were doing were not for him. He's not saying that.
Right.
He's saying, I don't know you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't mm-hmm. know you because you didn't get involved in a relationship with him. You just went about and began to do works.
Right.
And... So anyway,
faith without.
Yeah.
Because one of the favorite things he ever said is when he said, come and let us reason together.
Right.
I love that.
It's in the knowing. And that's, I guess that's part of the revelation for me is that, we already know Jesus was Father God, you know, and so he knows, but I don't know, to know that, I probably can't even get out what was revealed in that or mm-hmm. what grew in that of he already knows.
Right. What brought
you?
Mm-hmm.
He knows, you know, and he knows where I'm going, you know, as I trust him and as I praise him mm-hmm. and as I commune with him, like Jeannie's talking, and what you're saying, the reasoning together, the communing together, the two-sided relationship, not just God help me, God help me, God help me all the time, or you know, let's go rebuke out a devil and nothing wrong. We need to do that. You know, we need to lay hands. We do. But if it's all about ministry and it's not about the knowing.
He doesn't know you.
Right.
He doesn't know you.
So,
you know, it's that place Aaron was talking about. When he's when he's bringing you out of a place, he's never not bringing you into a place.
Exactly.
That's it's right. Never,
so good.
It's an impossible thing.
The end is always there for the beginning.
He's always, somewhere here, you're going to cross a threshold.
Right. In every area of your life. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not always just your path. It's just something you're going, whatever's happening, he's bringing you from one thing to the next thing. And
it's that beauty of finished work in your life. That's what he's looking for.
Amen. All right, let's take a trip. Second trivia question, short break here for the hard break, and then come right back into the conversation here. How many prophets of Baal gathered to meet Elijah in 1 Kings 18? How many prophets of Baal gathered to meet Elijah in 1 Kings 18? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Vox 2 Radio on the Vox 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back here on this beautiful day in the neighborhood. How many prophets of Baal gathered to meet Elijah in 1 Kings 18? It was 450. So that's my job done. Now I turn it back over to the ladies in the house. Miss Hannah had to drop over to the academy, and she's got some things. She's going to be teaching some Bible. So we still got Miss Jeannie, Miss Karen, Miss Crystal, and Miss Les and Downs has joined
Hello.
The studio this morning. So let's see where the Holy Spirit takes the conversation. Hallelujah.
I do want to say one thing, maybe the last thing about that verse, for he himself knew what he would do. Mm-hmm. I was praying this morning. And
John 6:6 for those out there.
Well, I wasn't praying John 6:6.
Oh,
but I mean, but it came. It kind of came back to that. It made me think about it. But you know, sometimes when I talk to the Lord, I kind of grumble about stuff. You know, under our breath and all that stuff. And you know, I found myself doing something that, and in the midst of it, and all of a sudden I remembered something he had told me. And he said to me, you don't have to hold anything against anybody. It wasn't a rule. Right. It wasn't a, you know, it was a release. Mm. You really don't have to hold anything against anybody. And all of a sudden, when he said it, I knew it was true. It was that kind of word, you know. And I mean, I felt the release of it. I felt the burden of it come off of me. But this morning, I was praying and I was trying to hold something against somebody. And that word came back to me. And I said to him, you gave me that word because you knew I needed it. Mm-hmm. You really knew I needed it.
Right.
It wasn't just for oh, Lord, you just say some great things. You really knew I needed it because I've needed it more than once. And I'm almost sure I'm going to need it again.
Pretty sure.
Because, see, he knew what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. So he gave me a word. And in the midst of trying to do what I always do, he said, remember what I said? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't have to.
That is it.
It is.
His word coming to you. That's what we were talking about, getting the wisdom of God.
That's right.
Something. Mm-hmm. When he speaks to you, it's not for that moment.
No,
it is for that moment.
Right, right.
But then it's there again.
Forever.
And again, and
it's
again.
That word that
and it
holds
comes
you for,
back.
Yes.
I was kind of
so
walking through
times.
That Sunday. Yeah. It was Todd, whatever. But
Todd
don't care. But, you know, being married, just things happen. And I don't know if I was in a mood. I don't know what it was. It was probably spiritual or whatever. But I got offended before church. And so going, he's like, you know, how you are when you're married. Well, what's wrong? What'd I do? That was his. And I said, and I really wanted to, and I said, no, in my spirit, I was like, God, help me in this. You know, he already knew it was going to happen, but he prepared me. And the fact, and I looked at him, I said, nothing. And Ty goes, oh, it's something. I said, it is something, but it's not worth it.
Yeah.
And I said, let me get over it, and we're good. It's nothing major. It's something. But you, and he knew, I ain't going to say what it was, just a simple little thing. And so then we go to church, and he's talking on spiritual warfare. And he's talking about little things coming at you. He's talking about those little, just little, and we have to get past things. And we have to say this, and anyway, walk out of church. He says another thing that just hit me the wrong way. And I was ready to, and it's like, and I'm saying all this to say, he knows what we need. And all I could hear was that word that we just said. Mm-hmm. And it was like that knowing that, God, hold on, you knew. And so help me get through this. Help me not say. And I was able to say a little bit, but I said, but it's not worth it. And I'm not going there. I'm not going to lose my peace with you, Todd. And I'm not going to lose my peace, first of all, with the Lord. And I'm not going to lose my peace within me, And so I'm 60 in 2 days. I'll be 63 years old, and I'm just saying, I'm getting a grip of like, and I've walked through this before, but we always do. But it's like, if we can just say, God, you know what this is, and you know how to help me overcome it. And so I started speaking the word, and I started saying, nope, I'm not going there. Mm-hmm. I am not going to let these little offenses. Now, sometimes you need to deal with stuff. We get that, But like you said, the Lord, right on time, had something in it for me if I heed to it. Now, if I don't heed to it and I'd have went there, with my hand popping and everything else, then I would have been miserable all day. But I said, no, I'm going to trust that he knows and walk this out. Yeah. Amen.
So what I'm seeing visually in my mind is we can have this fortress built.
Yes.
Where like spiritually we see the big things coming.
Yeah.
We see it. It's obvious. But it's obvious. It's also obvious that the enemy is a pest.
Yes, he is.
And the pest is able to slide through the cracks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if I can get in with this small little thing, if I can work my way in through right. this very small opening,
yeah.
The thing about a pest is they procreate.
That's right.
Where if I can get in, I'm going to birth all this mess.
Right.
And you're going to be like, I am aggravated with everything.
Yes, yes.
Because that's how pests
that's right.
work.
Right.
That's right.
But it's simple enough to step on a pest. And we're kind of told we can, aren't
yes.
we?
Yeah,
we're told we can crush the
right.
enemy under
that's
our
right.
feet.
Right.
So when those little pests try to come in, through the cracks and the small things, the little thoughts that we let slip in, we can crush them
right.
under our feet with the truth of the word. Just speak
like,
some
like you said,
truth
what
on yourself.
Seat am I going to sit in?
Right.
I know what you meant by that, but with me, I had to I had to decide: am I going here, or I'm just going to let it go? It's not worth, like you said, it was a pest. If I told y'all what it was, you'll be like, good Lord, Crystal, get over yourself. You know what I'm saying? But
be saying, get off.
If you don't stomp on it, immediately when you realize it's there,
right.
you're running the risk of it making its home somewhere.
Right.
And you don't even realize you have a problem until
right.
you're overrun.
Right.
But we had a peaceful, great day after that. But what seat we sit in, I like that you said that, Jeannie, it really, and let the pest, we have pest control.
Amen.
We have the word, and we have the knowledge that we get.
Right.
The word says, Lord, I ate your words, and they became a delight to me, And I can either walk in that, or I can walk in, meow.
It's just not worth it.
No,
we've talked about this before, but it's the words.
Right.
How does the pest try to come in?
Mm-hmm.
There's something going to be said.
Mm-hmm.
There's something rolling around.
Uh-huh. Right.
It's looking for, Satan's always looking for opportunity.
Right.
Well, if you think about that fortress we've got spiritually, the ear gate is the easiest thing to find a crack in.
Right.
Because it's open. It's open.
It's exposed.
Right.
Yeah. Like our eye gate's there, those things we see and things, but it is more likely that sound is those words, those things that are said, that's the way it can get in the easiest.
Right, we hear.
We were told in Ephesians to answer those things, mm-hmm. to cause those things to come into a subjection to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And we so many times don't do it. Well, let the little thing.
Right.
Yeah, well, okay. Let the little thing go. Let the little thing go. But the little thing is building,
mm-hmm.
because it wasn't really dealt with.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the words, especially the words inside people's heads. I mean, I hear this so much. I know y'all probably do too. You know, their thoughts, and they don't want anybody to know their thoughts, mm-hmm. and they're dealing with struggling with thoughts, and those words are just beating them to death.
Right.
Just beating them to death. The voices.
And I don't mean to say that you should never say anything either.
Right.
You know, this was something that we've talked about before. You know what I'm saying? It was just something, but I'm saying you should have those conversations, but not when you're frustrated,
mm-mm.
not when you're mad. You know,
well, you can have it. You just have it with the Lord.
It's that word of the Lord that comes, and you can still have that conversation with someone else. But you're in a different place.
Right.
You're standing.
Right.
You're standing on a different
yes.
rock this
yes.
time, or
yes.
seated in a different chair,
and a different heart, mm-hmm. like you said, of mm-hmm. like I'm not going to attack.
Right.
You know, if it's something that needs to be dealt with, you want the problem fixed, or you want help with it, but you go in some under. You go under. They say.
Right.
You know, you go under humble and say, "This is what hurt. This is what frustrated mm-hmm. me." And I was able to say that. But I didn't stay there because, like I said last week, I'm a powder, you know. Well, you know.
Yeah,
not anymore. I'm not.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Not,
you're the only one.
Not anymore.
No powders here.
No.
But it makes me.
Well, I'm different. I know. I'm different.
It makes me think about what you said, Jeannie, is that we can have this between us.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and sometimes. The little things that are little bitty pests mm-hmm. get in, and they just keep multiplying and multiplying. It keeps
right.
getting bigger and bigger and bigger. We can't afford to have this between us.
Right.
You know, you can't afford to have it between your spouse. You can't afford to have it between your sister or mm-hmm. your brother or mm-hmm. anybody else
it's
in
important.
Your life. It's got to go.
Right.
Because,
really
again,
does.
This is part of the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't have this little spot of...
And it affects not only your relationships, but your health at times. We've mm-hmm. talked about that. You know, everybody, even natural doctors and all, know that bitterness, anger, all these things, stress in your life affects the body naturally, you know. So we have to stop those pests from entering
mm-hmm.
our ear gates, like she's saying, and say, you know, no, not today.
Not
say
today.
Have y'all seen The Chosen? Anybody watched it?
I've never heard of it. Is it good?
I don't know. I mean, some people watch it, some people don't.
Tell me about it.
I tried. All I'm going to say is I tried.
You tried? You didn't like it?
No, I couldn't. I don't know.
Okay, well, there's a scene on it.
I couldn't connect.
That I really did connect, and I really loved it. And it's when Peter is going to forgive Matthew.
Mm.
And the scene, the camera shows him, he's headed toward Matthew with such purpose. That do you remember the scene? And that is me. I mean, if I ever saw me, I saw it in that movie. But he's going to forgive him, and it's like with every step, he's more and more convinced
uh-huh.
that he's going to do this.
Uh-huh.
And of course, then Matthew sees him coming, and he's like, "Oh no," you know. And I'm sure that's what people do to me. I'm sure. Oh gosh, here comes Jeannie. But that's. I'm going to face whatever this thing is, mm-hmm. whatever this is between us or between me and my life, whatever
mm-hmm.
it is.
That's right.
Today, I'm not going to push this thing aside. If I'm struggling with something today, personally, or if I'm struggling with somebody else, I'm going
gotta
toward
hit
it right now. We're going to find me and the Lord are going to. What do you want me? If the Lord says, "Don't worry about it, just leave it alone," okay. But the Lord's going to have to tell me that.
Right.
Because
with
I'm not letting this little fox yeah. happen. It's
because with
happening.
That word
right.
from him comes your way, your clear path.
Right.
It becomes that, and you know, you're talking about coming after, going towards somebody with purpose. You know, that's how the Lord came toward me.
Mm-hmm.
When he came in the lowest place I've ever been in my life, I heard him coming.
Mm.
I heard him. I heard the purpose in his step. I heard the attitude that he had as he came to get me, Mm-hmm. He came on purpose. He mm-hmm. came toward me with a purpose. Mm-hmm. And again, we're being put into a place where we are like him. We are being moved toward the image of the Son, transformed into the image of his Son. And we've got to do things on purpose.
Right.
And I'm not always real good at that.
No, we have a listener that said, what if we are the pest in somebody's life and not just demons or devils?
Well, hallelujah, finally know.
She was saying she realized, I don't know who this is, she was realizing she sometimes is the pest in people's ears. Mm-hmm. It's not always. And I think I would have been a pest Sunday morning. I really do.
Yeah, I believe you.
You know me well.
That's not a bad thing.
But no. Sometimes it's emotions. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's frustration because of a situation. It's not always a devil. We weren't saying that. But sometimes it is the enemy.
It is the influence.
It is the influence of the enemy going, look at that. We'll look at that. Mm-hmm. You know, would you just look at it?
When you look at a pest, they're busy. Uh-huh. Right. They are busy. Mm-hmm. They are busy.
Right.
And I think the opposite of pest is rest. I think when you are able to rest in the Lord and the truth, and even when he's revealing things about yourself that aren't the best, mm-hmm. what you confess can no longer control.
That's right.
And there's some things that you're tormented with in your own mind that as soon as you open up and you share those things, mm-hmm. suddenly they've lost their hold on you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you know one thing, when you flip a light on,
they
flee.
The pest,
they're gone.
They do run.
Yeah, they run.
They disperse.
Yes, mm-hmm.
they're like, oh no, don't see me for what I really am,
right?
Because I'm not what you really think I am. But as long as I can whisper in your ear that I'm this and I'm that,
in the dark,
you turn on the light. It's like, oh no, you really see me. Like you're just an obnoxious little pest. And I think you know, we talk a lot about fighting the giants in our life. The body of Christ is the giant. Mm-hmm. And anything else that's whispering in your ear is a mm-hmm. pest that you are able to, you're able to flick away, my friend.
Yeah.
And as long as you have that visual in your mind that we're fighting giants mm-hmm. and that the body of Christ is not, when unified, is not the giant of all giants, the light's not turned on for you. Mm-hmm. You're not seeing things as they really are and how powerful we really are when we're united, mm-hmm. we're walking in the truth, boldness, confidence, mm-hmm. that these things that are coming at you are trying everything.
Right.
They're trying everything. They're busy. They're trying to find a way in. They're constantly moving. Okay, can I get in here? Can I get in here? Can mm-hmm. I get in here? That's what they do.
Right.
It's the little man David. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was, I think, physically a small man.
But he was walking in that spirit.
He walked in the covenant that he had with God. Mm-hmm. And just to this person, you know, knowing something that is the truth, don't let it beat you up. If it's beating you up, it's coming somewhere else. But knowing the truth, even about your own self, mm-hmm. is a good thing.
Right. It's a sure shot.
As long as you do something about it.
You're not trying to find a crack to wiggle in. It is a sure shot, my friend.
Now you know.
It's come up in your life today. Mm-hmm. Because the Lord's ready for you and him to walk his thing
out. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. You're going to lay this stuff down today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you know, maybe I'm the, you know, I remember the first time I looked at me and said, I think I'm jealous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was really shocked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I would have told you all day long, I don't care about that. I'm not jealous. But I was.
Mm-hmm.
I was jealous. And when I was able to say those words out my mouth, mm-hmm. then the Lord could move me on.
Mm-hmm. Begin to lose already.
And so it's real important. You know, I really encourage whoever this is that called in. You know, this is a great step.
Yes.
And just, you know, man, we're better together.
Mm-hmm.
We need each other. We need mm-hmm. to confess that. Go ahead and say that to somebody. Look, you know what? I think I've been a pest.
Mm-hmm.
Getting those words out like that. It almost completely loses power in that moment.
That's right.
And then what you do next kills it.
Mm-hmm.
What you do next will kill it for good.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. So confess your thing. You just confessed it. Now let the Lord have it.
Right.
And he'll show you how to walk in the words that bring healing, the words mm-hmm. that bring grace and mercy and goodness and all that.
Right.
You know, forgiveness, you know, there's a lot there.
Oh, yeah.
But he'll show you how to walk in that. Mm-hmm. He really will.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. There's a scripture in Isaiah 57:18 that says, and I'm applying it to my life. It says, you know, I'm praying it over the prodigals, but I'm applying it to me too, because it's in Isaiah 57:18, and he's talking to he's talking about the evil, and he was saying, I have seen their ways, because it wasn't no big surprise to God. Like we said, he knows. He already knows. But it says, I've seen their ways. God has seen my ways, pointing to me, but I'll heal him anyway. And I'll lead him and restore comfort to him and his mourners, creating the fruit of his lips, peace to the far and to the near, says the Lord, and I will heal them. And so I love it where he says, I've seen it. I know, like how we started in John 6, Jesus already knows. He knows God. It doesn't take God by surprise.
Right.
But I'm going to heal him anyway, you know, and I'm going to lead him. Not only am I just going to heal him, I'm going to lead him out. Like we were talking about taking the next step, moving forward, coming out of that. This caller that called in, you know, she's admitting, sometimes I'm the pest. I would have been a pest Sunday morning. You know, I'll thank God for the Holy Spirit that convicted me and said, it's not worth it. Just get over yourself. Get over your emotions, you know. And then, so then God was able to lead me and restore me. I went to church. I went and had family time later on with some grandkids I haven't seen, and had a great day. If I wouldn't have, it's creating the fruit of the lips. So I was able to be kind to people after that. Peace to the far and to the near, and I will heal him. God had to heal me because I was frustrated over something. And so when we are the pest, stop and just say, is it really worth to ruin this whole day? You know, because God can heal you and God can stop it. And then you can have fruit of the lips. You can go on and be at peace. Peace to the far and to the near. And we can come closer to God and know that he already knew this was going to happen. Sometimes it's a setup. Not always, but sometimes it's a test.
Set up, homie.
That's right. Because it said in John 6, it said he was saying that to test him, but he already knew what he was going to do. But sometimes God's saying, how are you going to handle this situation? We think, oh, it's the big things. But like Leslie was saying, but sometimes it's that frustrated in the morning before church thing. It's the after church thing, that you just got out of church thing, and here you are acting crazy. You know, I wasn't. I'm just saying, but sometimes that's the way the enemy will come at you. So it's just good. I've seen your ways, but I'm going to heal you anyway.
So what's been going on? What's happening in New Mexico? What was that?
Oh, it was wonderful.
So Leslie went to New Mexico. You want to tell us about it?
Yeah. So we get in the car. Dave and our two little ones go with, and we get to visit with family out there that I do not get to see much. And
so this is your actual family, not church family. Family.
Well, they were church family that adopted me.
Oh, okay.
And became family.
Gotcha.
So we're adopted in Christ, and sometimes Christ people adopt us as well. But they moved to New Mexico when I was 6, and that's when I was adopted by the Rafferty's.
Okay. All right.
Cool. And Miss Nancy became my mama.
Yeah.
So God has just got me family in abundance.
That's right.
Like, that's right. Before the truth and the light came on, it was like, oh, well, they didn't want me, and they didn't want me, and then God turns on the light, and he's like, they all want you.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, man, what?
Come on.
There's your
he's
mama.
Like,
there's
he's your like, mama. I knew you were going to be needy. I gave you lots of love. I'm like, thank you, Lord. It was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. Every step was for a purpose, and the enemy wants to keep that gray area between our truth and the truth. Mm-hmm. And when you allow your truth to become the truth, mm-hmm. when your truth meets Christ in that situation, and you're shown what was really going on, mm-hmm. the enemy doesn't have that space to torment
That's right.
anymore.
That's right.
It's like you can't get in there. The pest that has already weaved its way in and made its home, it's different whispering from the inside
right.
and then having to knock to get in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm so glad you bring that up, because I always go back to this. You know, I most people know me know I didn't have a mother, and she was never there. And but when I didn't miss it. You don't miss what you don't have.
Right.
But when I had my first child, I all of a sudden I felt the loss of not having a mother.
Mm.
That was the first time and only time
yeah.
I ever felt it. But the Lord, during that time, he said, you will not lack anything. Go into the body of Christ and get whatever you need.
That's right.
And from that time to this, if I need a sister, I go get one. Mm-hmm. If I need a mother, I go get one. Mm-hmm. If I need a father, I've done it, y'all.
Yeah.
I've done it
yeah.
over and over and over. I've gone and got what I needed from the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never felt a loss.
Right.
Never.
It's always awesome. Claim Miss Doris Butler.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, so we had some things scheduled, but there was family time before then. And then Wednesday, we got to share in a service at a church up there, Grace Community. And it was just a beautiful time. And Thursday was a coffee shop downtown Roswell.
I love it.
Like when we were in there setting up, they were playing a song. And I heard the F word in it, and I was like, oh, well, we're where we need to be. Because first of all, there's not a bar here other than the coffee bar, so I'm in the right place. But they need Jesus up in here.
Amen.
And when we were packing up to leave, the manager came out, and he's like, I've got to be sure I've got numbers, and we've got to have you all back. And you're like, I'd love to. And he was back there jamming with us. Like,
awesome.
You saw him back there really enjoying everything. It was packed.
Awesome.
Absolutely packed.
Oh,
we had a great time. And Friday was Celebrate Recovery, and I got to share testimony, and it was a powerful time.
That's awesome.
It was. And Saturday was a house concert at my sister Leah's house for my birthday.
Oh,
and
happy,
I won't say which
birthday.
One, but thank you. But we had a great time. It was saying it was going to rain, and I'm like, I rebuke that. It's going to be perfect. And they're like, kind of scattering, kind of like, I don't know, we need it. It was like, it's gonna be great. And they're like, okay. I was like, it's gonna be awesome. They're just speaking it, and you watched everything shift. And out in New Mexico, you can see
right.
so far. Kind of it's so open, and you see the sky and you see lightning, but you know that it's like hours away. It's like, oh, okay, we're calling for rain. And but it was beautiful. And the rain shifted. It never rained
awesome.
On us. Everybody yeah. else got it, I heard, the next day, but I don't know. Sorry. And
send it right over there.
Yeah, but
you?
The sky just lit. The sky just lit up, and we had the concert outside, and so many were like, turn around. And you looked, and you're like, God's painting this sky so beautiful. And there was so much healing that went on. And that time together, it was really overwhelming and beautiful. And I don't know who,
picture.
If you all remember Chris Hicks, anyone that was at
yeah.
Bethel ages ago when yeah. the school first got started.
What a beautiful picture.
I mean, it was absolutely just miraculous.
She
like
just
looking behind us, the sky.
You realize you're on the radio, they can't.
Was on fire.
Yeah.
I've been told I have a face for radio. But at one point in the concert, we just had to turn around and soak it in. It was right when we started playing Gratitude.
Yeah.
And it was just this moment of worship and just beauty. And of course, I'm turned around when I'm singing it. I'm looking at the sky. I didn't turn the mic stand around.
Right,
like,
right.
Like your faces are beautiful, but oh my gosh.
How
many times you get to worship
right,
staring
right.
into the face of majesty.
Yeah.
And it was just incredible. It was just this beautiful, perfect time. And so that conviction inside of me that was like, this is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have those doubts come in like, well, what if it rains? What if it this? You're like, no, it's going to be great.
It's going to be perfect.
It's going to be absolutely
what
exactly
if,
what God wants it to be.
What if it does? It does.
And he's got this confidence in me because I've asked him, is this really what you want? Do I have it wrong? And just following that conviction, this is going to be great. And it's going to be peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be any stress. Mm-hmm. It's going to be this beautiful time together, and that's exactly what it was. God is so good.
Amen.
And then the next morning, I was in Artesia for worship at a church called Catalyst, and their building is about 2 months old.
Wow.
Like, and it's already to 80% capacity.
Wow.
So I was like, so you're expanding, right? Because it's kind of filling up in here. But it was just, they had bought 30 acres. Lord had opened up a door for them and that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So they got room to grow.
Awesome.
And there was an opening at the place called The Liberty downtown Roswell. And they were having like a featuring women artists that day, like female artists. And I found out that the worship leader at the church we're at that morning was why a slot opened and they called me. And I was like, you're the one that canceled? She's like, yeah. I was like, well, you're not going to stay canceled. She's like, well, if you'll do it with me, I'll go. I was like, oh, we're going. We're doing this together. Yeah. As soon as she opened her mouth, I was like, oh, we're doing this. It was incredible. We had the best time.
Good deal.
And so we got to minister there. And, I mean, all the tables were filled. The place was busy. It was packed. And we left from there to go back to Artesia for a concert that night. And it was just incredible. Everything was so in place and in peace. And, you know, just no anxiety or worry of, is this where you want me to be? Mm-hmm. It just walking in that confidence of, all right, well, you put all this in place. I didn't.
Right.
You opened all these doors. I just mentioned, hey,
right,
I want to go see my family. I want to do this. And then doors just flung open.
That's awesome.
You're getting calls from coffee shops and different venues that people are like, how'd you get in there? I was like, I don't know.
The Lord.
They called me. Yeah. So it was a beautiful time and healing. And that's exactly what it was. Just bathed in healing. It was absolutely wonderful. And then you get in the car to drive home. You're like, wah. No, wah. No. So we left about 11 at
back
night.
Back to your real life.
Right. Why do I have to drive so far? So, yeah, we left about 11 at night.
Home, I'm like, I don't mind living off, but why does it have to be so far?
Because you have to outrun pests.
Yes.
Yeah, so we drove through the night, and we switched off, my husband and I, which made it easier.
Yeah.
And we pulled into the house a little after 8 last night. And
how long of a trip?
About 18 and a half. That's but we trip. Stopped. I mean, we made stops. Yeah. And they slept the majority of the way, which makes it way better.
Yeah. How old are your kids now?
They're 10 and 11. Yeah, and there was about 10 or 11 inches between them in the back seat. And you're like, not enough space. Not enough.
You touch
space. Oh, my gosh. It's my pillow. I'm there.
Don't cross this
my
line.
My foot goes there. I'm like, oh, yeah.
How many more hours?
Are we there?
Give
yet?
Me strength, Lord. Give me strength.
Let's sing.
Everybody. But it's just been, very... very peaceful, very good,
that's just awesome.
Very healing, and
I'm sure being with your family was healing too.
It was. It really was that space and that time.
How long had it been?
3 years.
That's a long
but
time.
Before then, over 30.
Oh wow!
So it had been like this huge gap, and then going through a deliverance program, the biblical healing and deliverance. This is Bob Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we remember and, him.
Yeah.
I went to Bible school too.
So he had a book, Ministering in the Power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I think it was the title of that. And The Strong Man. This mm-hmm. is Strong Man's My Name. This is my game.
Yeah.
And then that was that resource he gave about biblical healing. Mm-hmm. And I just never sought it through, but he gave me that resource. And we didn't go through it in class or anything at the Bible college here, but it was a resource he'd given me. And I know he felt, but I hadn't followed anything through. And then
he
another friend
touched on it, I think, in Bible college.
He mentioned it, but we didn't have a class on it, which we totally should have.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. But another friend mentioned that resource. And she's like, have you ever read this? She's like, I've just started it. It's intense. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I have heard of that. It's been a while. But I feel like it's confirmation now.
Right.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time. So I looked it up, ordered it. Got started. First night I'm reading this thing, I get a blood clot in my calf.
Oh, wow.
Like I'm reading the first chapter on fathers. And the pain shoots through my calf. And of course, this is a familiar pain. I have a history with blood clots. Oh. And it wasn't a DVT like I've had in the carotid in the past. So I felt that pain start. And I'm like, oh, there's nothing like that pain. It's a very specific pain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I throw the book down, call my husband. I was like, I think we've got to go. And he's like, are you serious? I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I had just had foot surgery. Mm. So I was already hyper aware of what was possible. Because when you've got to stay in movement or, you know, things settle, things coagulate quickly. And so I was laid up with that, and that's why I got the book. I was like, this is the perfect time because I need healing physically, spiritually, mentally. Like, I need all the healing, Lord. Like, bathe me in this. And Yeah, first day. First day. Immediately, first chapter of the book. So I throw it. It lands behind my bedside table. And it was a year and a half later.
Oh, wow.
I don't clean behind my bedside table often.
I got that. That was the first thing
I
thought of.
Yeah, but I noticed it, but I just left it. Like, I'd look back there and be like, I'm good. Like, I purposefully, like, did not even touch the thing. Like, I'm not going near that book. And then finally, that conviction came, and I was like, it's time. Yeah. So I grab it, get the dust off that bad boy, and I crack it open. And it's like when I first got saved and gave my life to the Lord, you got saved and surrendered. And when I first surrendered to the Lord, yep. I got saved 5.5 months later of running. I surrendered. Yep. I was like, I'm exhausted. Wrong. God, okay, all right, here I am. Mm-hmm. Don't know why you want me, but take it all. And just that, I remember being starving for the word. I couldn't get enough. I just couldn't get. I fasted before I even knew what fasting was.
Yep.
Stayed in my room, couldn't stop reading, consuming everything, and everything was just working its way in there. Mm-hmm. You know, you can read something, but it's different when something is imprinted on you. You can read it in print, and it can be imprinted on your inner self. And it was being imprinted at typewriter deep in the soul, stomping it in there.
He said he would do that.
Oh, it was getting in there. It was writing in there.
So did you sleep with it?
Oh, it was constant. And songs, I don't know how many songs a day, like just constant, just flow, just script, straight scripture. And in that time of healing, it was that same way with this book and what it was saying. It was hitting home. It was getting in there. And it was talking about from birth. There's things from birth, and we have to go back to the beginning and work our way to now. There is no way to start from now and work our way back. We've got to start from the beginning, because there's so many things from the beginning that created a foundation for hurt and bitterness, and we're restoring the foundations of your life. Mm-hmm. And we're replacing that.
You can trust the Holy Spirit for that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He will bring up those places.
There's foundations that hurts have been built on that when that foundation is broken and removed, they have nothing to stand on. Mm-hmm. They have nothing to be held on by.
I've always said that God didn't just change my present day and my future. He changed my past.
That's where all the hurts are.
I felt it. I knew it was true.
I feel like just the word past is deceptive in itself, because it's nothing that you've gotten past.
Right.
It's still in there.
Yeah. Right.
It's still in there.
Feelings buried alive never die.
Yeah. So he's through that healing, you know, finding my birth father, forgiving him face to face. And then the next step, I was in that car after us having that first encounter, maybe only encounter. I don't care. I forgave him face to face. I'm over it. You know, that weight was lifted.
Right.
And, you know, it was being able to say, hey, you know, I've got dads in my life. That's not why I'm here. I'm here because God tells me I have to.
Yeah.
That I have to forgive you.
Was it received?
It was very well received. I mean, he cried, we embraced, and he's known about me my whole life. But just his shame is his prison, not mine.
Right.
So I put the key in the door and I turned it, and I'm like, you're welcome to leave.
Yeah.
This cell of shame you've put yourself in, but I'm not in there with you anymore. Right. You know, like, I'm nothing to be ashamed of. I'm not a mistake.
Right.
And that took a lot to say, because I didn't, for the longest time, that was not my truth.
Right.
That was not the case for me mentally. And to be able to be at that place where it's like, it's not by accident God chose for you to be a part of what brought me into the world, but it's not also not by accident that he chose for you to be not part of what raised me in the world. There's a reason I was removed, but there's also a reason I was birthed by a writer and a singer, a musician, that those elements are very much present in the parental units God chose. But he also said, nope, but their mental health, we're gonna remove, we're gonna put you here. And here was Bethel. That was me coming here as this little one-year-old child with the Hickses. And then that's where I met the Raffertys.
Right.
Nancy taught here. My brothers went to school here. And we instantly connected. And when they moved back to New Mexico, God said, you're not supposed to go to New Mexico. You're supposed to be here. And when you look back, because rejection and acceptance are not in the same direction. So what direction are you looking in? So if I'm looking at rejection and I'm looking at, well, they didn't want me, mm-hmm. and they didn't want me. You're looking in the wrong direction, right, because right, God has a plan and a purpose come for on. Everything mm-hmm. that's happened in your life. There was provision, there was protection, and there was love woven through every bit of it. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I started looking in that direction of healing and being like, okay, I want my healing, God, how do I get that? Oh, forgiveness.
Yeah, come on.
Forgiveness is where my healing is. Yes. I have to forgive everything. And it wasn't until being very purposeful, very focused on, okay, I want my healing, how do I get it, that I realized hate, resentment, bitterness, mm-hmm. stuff I felt towards people that really I didn't realize because I just refused to think about them. Mm-hmm. I refused to think about it, but it was in there.
Right.
And it was the foundation for so much self-destruction and addiction and mm-hmm. things that I got into because I never dealt with it.
Right.
And it's like, oh, okay, that's why we're starting at the bottom instead of going through and, you know, this jingaing, like taking all these little pieces out until it falls. You're pulling the table out from under it. Mm-hmm. And all these things have nothing solid to stand on anymore because it wasn't true to begin with.
Right.
Why am I dealing with addiction and depression when the source of those things is this deeper thing and you're trying to get to the root? We're plucking mm-hmm. the weeds and God's like, we're getting to the root.
Right.
And we're not just killing it for a season. Right. We're pulling it out where it has no
forever.
Space.
That's right.
It's not coming back, baby. No, and that's a relief because we've been fighting these weeds our whole life. And God's like, no, I'm going to take that open space where we remove all of this stuff that has grown so much self-destruction in your life. And we're going to fill it up. We're going to fill it up with mm-hmm. things that speak life, that create strength. Because as strong as we fought in our hurt, mm-hmm. like just fighting from that place, mm-hmm. we get to fight in the spirit now, and we know the difference, and you get to minister from a place where you're standing where the hole once was,
right?
And you're standing on something that's filled and fulfilling. Yeah. It's not just empty. We're not in the pit anymore. No, the pit has been filled
and it's overflowing.
With the spirit.
That pit's overflowing too.
And I mean, there's just much in my life the enemy did not want me to know. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a lady here at Bethel, I remember, I think it was Naomi, but she would pray in the spirit, and she would run through the church. And I remember one time as a small child, here I am, attention issues, hard to sit still. I remember everyone would have to, like, corner me in, like a makeshift, like, playpen, like, don't let her out. But I'd work my way through chairs, but the people in front had been informed, given instruction. Use legs, purses, whatever, she shall not pass. And I remember one of the few times during service I was allowed to go was if I had to pee. And they knew if it was real or not, because I would say I would, but I didn't. But I just want to get up, just want to go to the fountain. It was when the sanctuary was in the gym now. And they would just take the chairs and, you know, like it was both. Mm-hmm. It was both. That was the building. That was the only building. Felt very confined. Like, let me go somewhere. And there was one time that I remember my dad moving his leg back, because I was hyper aware. As soon as someone moved their leg back, I was able to go. I was like, okay. So he moved his leg back, and I'm jetting out right about the time Naomi's running through barefoot called Shumbukanamanoi. I jumped back and was like, I'm good. I didn't really have to go. I'm good. So there was a part of me that was like, what? And so Leah has these tapes of me when I'm like, I don't know, 4 or 5, you know, coming on 6. But I would just preach. We had this little kid quarter, and I'd just go on and, you know, like just preach. And I would love to quote Naomi just by mimicking what I'd heard her say, which is, they're like, well, you know, sometimes the spirit's like, I'm going to give you what you always wanted. You never knew. I'm going to give you that gift.
That's right.
And there's so many gifts, like gifts of praying in the spirit, where you're bypassing the mind, you're bypassing the heart. Like you're going right to the spirit. Mm-hmm. And the spirit knows to pray things that we just don't even think of or realize or know. And the first prayer I ever prayed in the Spirit was after leaving Bethel. There was a harp and bowl service, and we had a worship service. And they were praying in the Spirit, and I leaned over to the lady next to me. I was like, where are they from? And she's like, what do you mean? I was like, that's not English. Like, that's not Americana. And she's like, they're praying in the Spirit. I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. And she's like, do you want to? I was like, let's do it. Like, I never said no to anything in the world. Why don't I start now in the church? Like, yeah, let's try it. Let's do it. Let's go. And so they prayed for me to have the gift of tongues, and I think we've all been given it, so I guess they were just praying I would receive it,
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And waited, like, well, not yet. But the Lord knew where I needed to be, mm-hmm. when I fully received that gift. And it was once I got home alone in a room, and I felt that unction to get on the floor, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, I'm just in full obedience mode at this point. Like, I've realized all my decisions are terrible, so Lord, you tell me what to do. And I'm laying on the floor, and I start praying in the Spirit for the first time. And I don't know how much time passed. It was at least an hour. And I get up, like, not up, but I sit. And just a mess, like leaking from every orifice of my face, like just a mess. And I'm like, okay, what was that? Like, you got to tell me what that was. Oh, my gosh. That was intense. What was that? And it was the interpretation I was given for that first prayer was I was praying to have respect for my parents, which for some, that could be simple. Yeah. For others, complicated. For me, it was very, very layered. Mm-hmm. And it was at that point I probably should have started that journey of forgiving. But I sat there in my ignorance, my young Christian ignorance, and I was like, okay. Well, I pray to have respect for all my parents. Are we good? Are we good? And moved on. And that was before becoming a parent myself, all the things, but it just wasn't time. It wasn't time yet. I wasn't ready. It was a lot. It was a lot. So I forgave those in my immediate line of sight, started to work on healing those hurts and those things. But there were others that were out of sight, out of mind, but still very deep in the Spirit. Of needing to be confronted and dealing with those hurts that were really down in there.
Yeah.
They had rooted really deep.
Those are some of my questions to the Lord, is like, why did it take me so long? And, you know, I love that you said there was a time.
There's fruits of the Spirit, and some fruits take longer to come to fruition.
They do.
And I believe there's hurts that God is always ready to heal, but we're not ready yet. There has to be an opening and a breaking. You have to be ready in so many ways for it to be complete and eternal. Like, not like I'm just pulling this weed, but I'm gonna deal with this again later.
It's like building a house. There's certain things that have to happen in a certain order for it to be sound.
Yeah, and you have to let it settle.
Right.
Because they're shifting, and you have to let that foundation sit and be set. So that it won't shift and it's set. So maybe there's some foundations of faith that just haven't set in yet. And that's not like, well, you can't speed that along. That's not like you can't make a foundation of a house set quicker.
Every house is different.
It takes its time. And we're the house of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Physically, we're the temple. And there's some things spiritually that just haven't set yet. It hasn't sat long enough yet. Like, there's a time for everything, and he's constantly building things spiritually in our life, but not a load that we can't bear. The foundation can't be broken. Like, he's letting things be strengthened, compounded, brought.
He knows when that time is.
Perfect.
He knows everything.
It's like he's perfect, yeah.
He just knows. Yeah. He knows.
You know, Jesus said to Peter, Satan, he wants to sift you. He's after you, boy. Mm-hmm. And he said, but I've prayed for you, mm-hmm. that your faith would not fail. And when you recover, King James, mm-hmm. when you recover, mm-hmm. strengthen your brothers. Strengthen those around you. And that's something that can be done now, because you've come through some things, right. Each one of us. As you come through some, I tell people all the time, if you listen to me, I can save you about 10 years. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Because we've come through some things and we know what it took to get there. Mm-hmm. So you can help somebody go on and at least understand you're going to have to get there.
Yeah.
you know.
And I think that's so key about going to that root, going to the place, like she was talking about, not just Jenga. And I think that's why, you know, and I don't mean to judge, but a lot of Christians don't continue in the faith because you pull one or two out and it's not, you're still not healed or something's still not right or whatever, so you go looking somewhere else. But if you get down to that root, if you get down to the foundation of where it all started and what, and, you know, get to the root of it, get to the, you know, you could pull a plant up, but if you don't get that root, it's coming back. You know, you got to get to the root. And where is that beginning? How did that start, you know? And where did this rejection come from? Sometimes it comes in the womb, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it can start in the womb, and you're not even aware of it, but the Lord will show you. I can't remember who it was, but it was back when I was in Louisiana, and it was a young lady, and when she was ready to find out, excuse me, her story, the root was her father never wanted her, and wanted her to be aborted or get rid of her. And he never would have admitted it later in life, you know, but she went back to the story, the very root. And in the womb, she was rejected. And when she dealt with that and when the Lord healed her of that, she was able to go on. And she's still giving herself, I can't remember who that was, but I remember that story of that in the womb and he spoke it over her. You know, we need to get rid of this child. We don't want this, you know, I don't want this child.
I didn't want any children.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, what I'm seeing in the word rejection is ejection. You know, when Satan was ejected from heaven, that might be the first spirit that developed.
Right.
That could be one of the first he always throws your way.
Yeah.
Because if you walk in a spirit of rejection, you're not going to walk in that spirit of exception.
Right.
And that's what God says we're called to walk in.
Yeah.
If you know, if this is speaking to anybody out there, and usually these kind of conversations do hit the mark. Mm-hmm. You know, I just really encourage you, do not try to walk all this alone. Mm-hmm. You know, we need each other. You need someone you can talk to. You need someone that'll pray with you and help you get where you got to go. Because
right.
There can be overwhelming to take that look.
Yes.
You know, so.
Yeah. Without somebody praying with you, holding your hand, you know, it is a difficult walk.
When you think about the visual of a Jenga and removing some pieces before the table's pulled out from under, it's not just the pieces that are already stacked and established. It continues to be added to, because that's how that works. That piece slides out and you put it back on top. Mm-hmm. And it could be you get that piece out by a prayer, being prayed for, confession. And you're moving those pieces out, and those blocks can end up right back on top from a church hurt, from a disappointment, from sharing that thing of healing with someone, and then they tell someone else, or they turn around and really disappoint you, and that stack gets taller, and you become more unstable.
Yeah.
But church hurt is a huge thing, because that spirit of rejection we were just talking about, you are open and vulnerable in a way, in a church, in a way that you aren't anywhere else, because you're there for your healing. That's what you're there for. And when you put your focus on, instead of God, God's people, you're always going to be let down.
Because they're people.
So you don't need to leave church. You need to find the source and get healed.
Right. The church building is not the source, but the church body as a whole. We are not a building. We are a people. And we're called to hold one another together in a way, hold in that faith, kind of like those legs blocking the aisle. Like we're called to help.
Called to bear.
Yeah, called to help those that might be trying to escape that walk in their life, because the calling is hard.
I think a lot of churches are getting to this.
Yes,
I really do. I see a move throughout the churches, and I touch a lot of churches.
Yes.
And I'm seeing people coming together like, we want to know what this one another thing looks like. We want to unify in the faith. We want to walk together. Right. And I'm seeing it. Yeah. I am. So I'm encouraged.
Going all the way back, like I said, to John 6:6, the one we started with. And it says that Jesus, he said, because he asked him, where are we going to buy bread and so that these people can eat? He already knew that answer, right? But he tested him. And sometimes the Lord will ask questions to bring something up, to bring a root up. And, you know, this lady that texted in a while ago and said, what if I'm the pest and it's not a devil? I just, you know, well, there's a root somewhere in that. There's a root with me. The frustration that I was feeling because I want perfection sometimes and I can't, that comes from fear. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always a root. Fear that things are not going to be right. Fear that things are, you know, I can't control them. You know, all of that is fear. So when I ask myself the question, why am I like this? Like, you know, Nikki had to go back and look. I still call Nikki. Yeah. I've called her Nikki since
we met. You can call me Nikki.
We met in 2007 here, and I've called, no, nine. And I've called, then she was Nikki, and I've called her Nikki.
You can call me Nikki if you want to.
But anyway, going back to sometimes the Lord's asking a question is, are we ask ourselves the question, God, why am I this way? Why am I frustrated? Why? What's going on here? Why am I rejected? Why am I hurt all the time? Is there bitterness? You know, we can
this
ask those questions.
This is a great beginning right here.
I know, and we got to end.
No, that is the great beginning for whoever's listening.
Oh, I thought you meant the program.
That is the beginning.
Yeah, of asking the questions, God, am I bitter? Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I got diagnosed with cancer, I went, you know, because that comes from bitterness we've heard. Not all the time, but that's been.
Probably in your case, for sure.
Yeah. You know how I am.
Yeah, you really are a better person.
So you're beautiful. You're beautiful. Is it this? Was it this? Was it this? You know, and I searched my heart saying, God, where did this, how did it get in? Where's this open? And sometimes, you know, cancer is a parasite. It's a deformed cell is what it is. And so sometimes there's things spiritually in our minds, our spirits, our body, soul.
Yeah, we're getting close.
Roger's telling me to shut up. Oh my goodness! No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, but that are hurting us, and God wants to get it out, mm-hmm. and uproot that thing and kill it, and mm-hmm. so it's for our good.
Right. So be encouraged today. I mean, everything that we're talking about, it has an expected end. Amen. If you'll go with the Lord on this thing, if you'll just bring it to Him. Mm-hmm. Am I this? Am I that? What do I need to see about me?
Right.
And then let Him take you on the journey that's going to bring you the life He died to give you.
How are the pests getting
Amen.
In?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's not that we let go of that question of, am I enough? Will I have enough? Mm. And we hold on to the truth of He is enough, and He provides everything we need, including that healing.
Thank you, girl. Thank you for being here and doing that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Sharing your personal life. It's always needed.
Right.
You want to close this out?
I sure will. Father, we thank You. Lord, we thank You that everyone listening this morning, if there's anybody out there, God, that they have a question in their spirit, God, of am I enough? Mm. Or look what I've done? Or why did I do these things? Or why am I this way? All these questions, God, that come against us. That, Father, sometimes that's the Lord saying, you know, He tested them, but He knew already. And God already knows. He knows what's there. And He's wanting to show you what's there so that you can be healed. Like Leslie here, that she went to the root.
Yeah.
And now God's using her to help others. And each one of us have dealt with issues in our lives that only so first we can be healed. But God, let us share now of, oh, there's such hope. Like Jeannie says, I can save you 10 years. And the Lord wants to save years off of your life and set you free this morning.
Thank
so God,
Lord.
We pray
Thank
for
you,
everyone out there. That may be going through this, God, and Lord, show them, reveal them, and give them wisdom, God, today. And Lord, we thank You for our radio listening off audience, God, and we thank You, Lord, that You bless their day and give them freedom in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Thank You.